previously.
Trying to say, well, gosh, this is not the worst thing that could happen. There could be like even worse catastrophes in your life, and this is not that bad.
Well, that's for sure. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, everybody says that.
Right.
And it just doesn't make the couple feel better, because what they're struggling with is a huge deal to them. And, you know, they feel, and I think they're right, that no one really knows what it's like unless you've walked in their shoes.
This is Beyond the Birds and Bees on Austin's Talk 1370.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Beyond the Birds and the Bees. I'm Dr. Lisa Hansard with the Texas Fertility Center. You can find more information about TFC at www.txfertility.com. This show is brought to you to really discuss the issues that involve couples trying to conceive in today's world. And throughout the course of the show, we've talked about what defines infertility, what are the factors involved in infertility, what kind of tests are done to diagnose problems, and what kind of treatments are available. I'm very happy today to have a guest who will be discussing her expertise in clinical nutrition. But we have a caller joining us first from Miami who wants to share her story with how this topic has directly and personally impacted her. Leah, are you with us?
I am. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining us. What's going on in Miami?
It's hot and humid, but beautiful, so we're having a great time.
I'm so, so glad. Well, yeah. Thank you for agreeing to be on the show and for being willing to share your story with our listeners. Can you kind of start from the beginning of your fertility journey and walk us through the parts of that and the changes?
Absolutely. My husband and I started a few months after we got married to try to have a baby, and actually got pregnant and had a late first trimester miscarriage, and we thought, oh, it's just a fluke, we'll try again, and we tried and tried and tried, and nothing ever happened. So then we finally decided it was time to see a specialist, so that's when we went to Texas Fertility Center and started our journey, did Clomid and IUIs, and no success. We did the follistim injectable cycle with IUIs and actually had success there. But then that was an ectopic pregnancy, so that was a pretty scary time in our lives, but we got through that.
Let me just stop you for a second, because obviously okay. I know what you're talking about, but I want to make sure that our listeners do. And so you said you got pregnant when you were using the injectable medications,
right?
But it was an ectopic pregnancy. So it was a pregnancy that implanted in a fallopian tube and
right.
didn't make it all the way to the uterus. Right?
Okay, yes, that's
so
correct.
How was that addressed? How was that treated?
Well, we monitored for a few weeks, and then we realized that it was in the tube, and it wasn't going to go away on its own, so we actually had to have surgery to remove that pregnancy from the fallopian tube. Fortunately, the tube was saved, and we were actually very blessed in that aspect of things. So we did get through that, and everything was fine. And do we continue on?
Yes. Yeah. I'm
okay.
Sorry. I'll just interrupt you if I think that we need to clarify something, okay?
Absolutely. Please do. So then we tried IVF, in vitro fertilization, after that. Had a very poor response. And along the way, too, with the other injectable medications, my response was poor. We had a hard time seeing my ovaries with ultrasound. We went through all the jumped through all the hoops to try to to make it work, and it never did. Finally, my doctor, as sweet as this doctor has been, said, you know what, I'm going to come to you with something that's kind of hard for me to talk about, but I think it could help. Maybe if you lost some weight, you might have some success at carrying the pregnancy and, you know, being successful. And weight was something I've struggled with my whole life. You see people every day overweight who get pregnant, have babies, no problem. But there's also people like me who weight really was a factor in my fertility. So we took about 9 months off to try to start on the journey of health. I lost 50 pounds.
Wow.
And went to the gym, was really in great shape, far from ideal weight, far from where I will ever ideally need to be, but a lot healthier for me nonetheless. Finally started back again, and we're continuing treatments, and my response was amazing, incredible. My ovaries responded in such a huge way.
Like a totally different person, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. The ovaries were no longer hard to see. Everything was different. Everything. Everything was different about the cycle.
And you felt different.
I felt different, yeah. And when you go into it with the renewed sense of purpose, I guess, because, you know, in my mind, I wanted to have a baby, and whatever it took, I was willing to do that.
That was your priority no matter what?
No matter what. And if it was being uncomfortable in the gym, if it was eating not necessarily the way I wanted to, but the way I needed to, I feel like it made a huge, huge, huge difference. And now I have a one-year-old baby girl to show for it.
Yay.
And so I would definitely say that nutrition, health in general, it plays a huge factor. And even if you never get pregnant, it plays a huge factor anyway. So you can never go wrong in getting healthy, regardless.
Well, I want to stop you for just a second because, you know that it's a struggle to make that decision and to start the process of getting healthier and losing weight. When
Absolutely.
You say to us, well, I worked for about 9 months and I lost 50 pounds, you make it sound like that was easy.
Oh, no. It was not easy.
Right.
Not
I wouldn't think so. So
no, I mean,
talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I just started eating, you know, 6 times a day, really watching what I was taking in. But mainly, I think the biggest part for me was exercise. I was in the gym 5 to 6 days a week. And I'm not a small person. I wasn't then. And a lot of times it's intimidating for somebody that's not in shape to go to the gym. But everybody in the gym was wonderful to me. You build relationships with these people because you see them all the time. Lots of encouragement. And then walking my dogs every day, you know, just a lot of physical activity. And it wasn't easy. I didn't enjoy it. I don't enjoy working out. I'm not one of those people who, you know, people call a gym rat who goes and, oh, this is the best thing ever. No, I hate
every single minute of it. Yeah.
But I knew it was necessary and it made a huge difference. Absolutely.
But even things like when you said, you know, you hung out in the gym, but you also started walking your dog every day, those are kind of easy things that most people could incorporate into their lives, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, just getting out and moving 3 or 4 times a week, walking around your neighborhood. If you do have dogs, walk your neighbor's dog. They would appreciate it, too. and just being up and moving and not being a couch potato, it makes a difference, you know. And, of course, those are the first steps. And if you can only do one thing at a time, if exercise is the first thing, start that and then worry about your diet. Or either start your diet and then exercise. Take it in small steps because it's a day-to-day journey. It's very mental, but it can be done. It can be done.
And so those skills that you incorporated into your life when you were in this process in terms of the type of choices you make about eating and activity and so on, is that something that's continued today in your house?
It has, actually. Having a baby makes it more difficult to, you know, focus 100%. For me, anyway, some women are rock stars and they can do it all. I'm basically maintaining right now.
Mm-hmm.
I do have every intention of making those numbers go down further. But right now, for me, it's about maintaining. And that's okay, too. You know, I think people are really hard on themselves, but little things make a big difference.
Absolutely. And, you know, the choices that you're making today and the type of environment that you have at home, now you realize, will influence your children.
Absolutely.
As they grow up and they see that there are healthy choices, it's not all, you know, French fries and hamburgers and greasy pizza, that you can enjoy your meals, you can enjoy family time with exercise and activity.
Absolutely.
And you're just setting such a great example for your family, for sure. And and obviously, you know, you and I have had these conversations over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has always stuck with me is your comment. Do you remember what you said about not being afraid?
Yes, I do. Do you want me to elaborate?
Yeah, share that if you don't mind.
So here I'm a patient struggling to try to figure out what's going on. You know, the doctors are nervous because, you know, your doctors really want you to feel okay. It's a very stressful process. Infertility is so devastating and heartbreaking. And I know that the doctors don't want to add anything else
That's
to your
exactly
plate to
right.
make you feel bad.
That's
you know?
Exactly right.
And so the fear is in the doctor to say to the patient, you know what, if you might, you, this might help. So what I said to my doctor was, don't be afraid to tell somebody who's overweight that they might need to lose some weight to have some success. Everybody that's overweight knows they're overweight. It's not a surprise to anybody. And don't be afraid. Don't. It's a disservice to us who are struggling with our weight for our doctors to be so concerned about our feelings that they don't give us that tool that could possibly give us the biggest success of our life.
Well, when we had talked about that earlier, I will tell you that that stuck with me. And I have felt a lot more comfortable having this conversation because with my patients, because it, honestly, you know, at the end of the day, you know that we're taking this team approach, and
Absolutely.
I know how close you became with your whole team, with,
Absolutely.
You know, the nurses and the physicians and everyone that you interacted with at TFC. And, you know, this is really a group effort. And so if we see something that we think is going to make a difference, it really is a responsibility to bring it up, right?
It is. And not only for you, but for patients, for us, it's our responsibility to listen to what you're telling us because you know this is what you do.
Right.
We think we know, but we don't. So if you tell us something and if we really are truly committed to this process and to trying to have a child, we're going to do what it takes. And we need to be open as patients to what our doctors have to say and not be so sensitive to the things that they do say because they only have our best interests in mind.
You know what? You said it better than I think anybody else could say it. And you're saying it from personal, you know,
Absolutely.
Painful experience.
Yes.
But on the other end of it, knowing that I think that one issue in your health is what was the difference maker.
Absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind that is the reason I have a baby today.
And now you are going to be able to be a healthy mother and
yeah.
active with your children as yeah. they're growing up.
Absolutely. And it, like I said, it's something that will be something I deal with for the rest of my life. And like I said, you just have to take it one day at a time and hold on to it as best you can and do the best you can. Nobody's asking for perfection in anything.
That's exactly right.
You just have to do the best you can do on a day-to-day basis. And that's what counts.
I agree. And, you know, when we look at this whole fertility picture, you know, everyone wants the one answer. This is what's going to make everything better. There is no one answer. You're exactly right. And so the challenge is to look at the whole picture and try to chisel away and make improvements on all fronts.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, it's if we need to help with ovulation or we need to help with, you know, sperm motility or whatever it may be. We need to help with our stress levels, our
yes.
overall sense of, you know, wellness. It's really trying to impact every part of our lives that are important in trying to become pregnant.
Absolutely. And like I said, we just have to take that responsibility and do what we can do as patients. To make it happen, absolutely.
Well, you're kind of the poster child of that, you know, in my mind. So,
well, thank you.
I'm
grateful
bet.
For the help I had from my team, and not just medical intervention, but the emotional support too. Because I can honestly say that the doctors and nurses truly, truly care about their patients and will do anything in the world to help them. And I am, like you said, poster child for being loved on by that staff.
Well, you know what? You give as well as you take. That's for sure. That is for sure.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm going to let you get back to your family and your vacation in Miami. And really, I can't thank you enough for joining us and for sharing your story with our listeners.
Absolutely. And I would just like to say, you know, guys, who are dealing with this struggle, I know it's hard. I know it's so heartbreaking and difficult. But keep the faith and hang on. And we'll all pray for great things to happen for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Leah.
Thanks,
have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, I do want to take a moment to just recognize today for what it is. I think that 9 years ago, all of us can very, very vividly remember where we were about, 8:30 or 9 a.m. Central Time when we heard about the World Trade Center and the attack on American soil. And I would like to take an opportunity to remember the brave people who lost their lives in that tragic event, and to look at how safe and secure our world feels today compared to that moment. When we return, I am going to be very, very honored to introduce our guest speaker, Rosalind Haney. She is a certified clinical nutritionist, and she's going to be giving the very, very expert opinion on how nutrition affects this journey and what we can do in our lives on an immediate basis to make a difference in our overall health, and particularly as it pertains to fertility. So we are at Talk Radio 1370 AM. Our call-in number is 390-1370. Listen to us on the web at talk1370.com and join us back in a few minutes for the rest of our show.
Talk Radio, 1370 AM.
Welcome back to Beyond the Birds and Bees on Austin's Talk, 1370.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Lisa Hansard from the Texas Fertility Center. Thank you for joining us in this week's edition of Beyond the Birds and the Bees. If you're just now tuning in, we had a really, really great caller who talked about her personal experience with fertility and how her weight and general health was really impairing her ability to conceive, and taking steps to improve her health to be able to eventually become successful. I have joining me today Rosalind Haney. She is a registered nurse who is also a certified clinical nutritionist. Thank you for joining us, Rosalind.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
One of the things that we were discussing during the break is that we've actually known each other for 14 years.
Yes.
How can that be? Because we're so young.
I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't like we were in kindergarten together
right.
or anything. But do you mind sharing with us just briefly your interest in clinical nutrition and fertility and what's involved in being certified and what that looks like?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I've always had an interest in nutrition and a long history of working as a nurse in women's health. And after turning 50 and my youngest son moving home, I decided that it was time to find a way to work with both my passions. So I went through a couple of actually certifications in clinical nutrition so that I could learn what was current, what was science, and how the body worked with nutrition. I certainly felt like I, in the 70s and 80s, when I was trying to become pregnant, was thoroughly misguided
right.
by what real nutrition was. And I completely bought into the ideology of no-fat diet being healthy, even for someone in their late 20s, as I was trying to become pregnant. So I know that a lot of people throw their hands up in the air when it comes to nutrition because they truly don't know what to believe. And so what I wanted to do was to really understand what the body needs in order to perform well, because we certainly know that it wants to be healthy and it wants to reproduce. That's one of its strongest instincts. And so it just needs that support.
Well, from our perspective, you know, on the more of the diagnostic and fertility intervention end, wow, what a great resource for us, because on both ends, in our patients who are really underweight and our patients yes. who are really overweight, it's not the experience, the background that we have, and we may recognize that this is something that, you know, women really need to focus on and get some help with, but having a place for them to turn mm-hmm. and really a starting point,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're just so excited that you're here and you offer this unbelievable service for our patients. So tell me what that looks like, that initial interaction with someone who comes to you and says, you know, I've got to do something. I want to have a baby. Where do you start?
Right. I have them complete an online questionnaire that I have on my website before I see them.
What is your website?
It is www.roshaney, that's roshaney.com.
Okay.
And they can go on the website and complete the questionnaire and email it back to me so that before I see them, whether I'm doing a phone consult, which is typically what I do actually, I have a chance to look over a few of the key things that I find are really necessary for good overall health. What we're looking for is we want the body to have the confidence that it can both take care of itself as well as a rapidly developing fetus or two.
Right.
So I'm looking for things like, of course, I want to know their age, but I also want to know their occupations. Are they exposed to toxins in their environment? Is it a high-stress job? So that I know the things that they're going to be needing to address. I want to know, do they have any medical conditions or a diagnosis in particular? Are they on medications or certain supplements or herbs? I want to know about the interaction of those and where their digestion is, because that's very important to absorbing our nutrients. One of the most important things I look for is their height and weight.
So you're looking at their BMI.
BMI. As you said, it's not always about losing weight. It's often about gaining weight.
Right.
I have many women who are underweight and don't realize that that may be affecting their ability to adequately produce the hormones they need or to have the energy reserves for a confident pregnancy. I'm looking at their daily diet. I have them complete, give me an idea of what your daily diet looks like and the times that you eat, and that's very telling. The most important thing I look at there is their breakfast.
Okay.
And the reason is because when, you know, our body expects us to be fasting during the night when it's recovering and restoring itself, but in the morning when it wakes, because the brain needs constant fuel, it expects us to provide that. And if it doesn't, if we skip breakfast or if we have the wrong kind of breakfast, then the body has to break down tissue to supply the fuel that the body needs. And we don't want to be in a breakdown state when we're trying to become pregnant. We need to be in a build-up state.
Or if we're just trying to, you know, get ready to go to work and
exactly
not crash. Right. So you mentioned something. Okay, so this is something from, you know, the 70s and 80s nutrition. Remember, they always said, you have to eat breakfast, you have to eat breakfast. But one of the comments you made was, it depends on what you eat for breakfast. What do you mean?
Right. We really want to see a full-fat protein eaten at breakfast.
A full-fat protein. What does that mean?
That would be something like a whole egg or a whole dairy or nuts, maybe almond butter, or it could be cold shrimp or chicken from the night before.
So you're getting a protein that has fat as part of the protein.
Exactly.
So we're not going to just have the egg whites from an egg.
Right. Or you're not going to just have oatmeal.
Right.
Something that would turn to sugar very quickly. One of the most important things in fertility is we really want to keep our blood sugar balanced. And I truly believe this is important for everyone's overall health.
Okay, so this means we don't need these huge spikes of glucose that the body then has to respond to.
Exactly.
We want to keep more of a what we call euglycemic environment where our blood sugar isn't bouncing peaks and troughs all day long.
Right.
Is that what you're
exactly
saying?
That's exactly what I mean, right.
Why is that important?
Not only does that help balance our hormones, because when we have high spikes of blood sugar or glucose, we have to spike insulin to pull that glucose into
right.
the cell. High insulin raises testosterone, which will throw
right.
off a woman's hormone balance. So that, for fertility, is important.
Sure.
But for the general population or for overall health, even in fertility, we want to be sure that we are supplying the cholesterol, and I know the dreaded cholesterol, but the cholesterol that our bodies need in reproduction. So sometime in the 70s or 80s, they did say that no-fat diets, we knew that they were possibly healthy for obese men who were middle-aged and had a history of heart disease.
Right.
But they extrapolated that to all populations, even someone such as myself at the time who was in my late 20s and trying to get pregnant. I truly believe that a no-fat diet was important for me. So we have learned.
I remember all of that. It's, you know, it was the whole thing with egg beaters and cholesterol's bad.
Exactly. And margarine.
Yeah, there's, oh my gosh, let's not even go there.
Yes.
But there was not ever a situation where cholesterol got a positive endorsement.
Right. For anyone.
For anybody in any situation.
Even young children or the elderly. So
and,
we know
And now we're saying cholesterol is good.
It's good. It is certainly what a woman in her reproductive years are in pregnancy needs, because we know that it is a precursor to all of our sex hormones as
it
well
sure
as
is.
Our anti-aging hormones.
Yes.
So for someone who wants to be young and vital, I mean healthy and vital, even in her middle ages, really does need some cholesterol. What we need to be more careful of are the simple sugars and simple carbohydrates.
Okay, so we've talked about a breakfast that is a full-fat protein.
Yes.
So an egg. We talked about the egg. The egg's awesome, right?
It is awesome.
We love the egg.
Especially a good pasture egg.
Yes.
Because chickens who are allowed to eat grass and crickets certainly will provide a lot more of the full-fat soluble vitamins A and D, which are so important for our fetal brain and organ development and for the good, healthy cholesterol as well. So, yes, pasture eggs, full-fat dairy, organic butter is an excellent product. Also, your body knows what to do with butter. The trans fats of margarine are actually very disruptive to our cells. And not at all healthy for fertility.
So this is sounding good. I'm liking this. So I can drink milk and I can eat cheese and I can have protein and eggs. I'm liking this if I'm wanting to get pregnant.
And most women do. They might be concerned about the weight when I start
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say, because, you know, we think about fat calories, and especially, don't use butter or limit this or use the fat-free version.
Yes.
But you're saying that's not the best thing
that
for
fertility.
Well,
let's think about it. The no-fat diet of the 70s and 80s, has anybody become skinny on those diets?
Our population is out of control,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. No, what we know is that full-fat protein is there to build tissue. And for long-term energy, it's really not what makes us fat. What makes us fat are the simple carbohydrates and sugars that we don't burn off as fuel. They store as fat. So when people eat a full-fat protein, they're more satisfied also, so they don't have the cravings that you would get when you're spiking your blood sugar with simple carbohydrates.
Because your insulin level's elevated, so you have that constant need to supply it with sugar.
The root of all cravings is insulin.
Yes, it is.
High insulin. So actually people are surprised that they can control their diet. Now, portion sizes are important.
Okay, so that's what we're going to get to, because, you know, we know kind of calories in, calories out is important, obviously, in whether or not we gain or lose weight. Mm-hmm. So you and I have already talked about we don't want to count calories.
No.
And you've already said we've got to eat lots of meals a day.
Yes.
I'm seeing I'm going to get really big here.
Yes. Nope.
No.
You
okay.
Won't.
Tell me how I do that then.
Well, what I like patients to do is to think of their plate as having half fruits and vegetables, a palm portion of protein, and a palm portion of carbohydrates. So it's a very simple way to know this is the amount of fuel. This is because we need to think of food as fuel, the amount of fuel that will get me to my next meal. Anything that's eaten over that, it's not burned off as fuel for your body, will
to store as fat.
Especially the carbohydrates. So
that's important too, because, you know, in our society today, with so many people eating out, and, you know, it's almost like more is better.
Yes.
These huge portions that you get at restaurants.
Right.
What you're saying is that you're going to be eating in another 3 or 4 hours, mm-hmm. so you only need enough to get you to that next
meal. That's right.
So it's all about the portion. So it's not we're going to eat at noon and then we're not going to eat again until 8 p.m. So I better have a really, really big lunch because it's got to hold me all the way to the evening.
And they will surely be grabbing cookies or snacks or something that's going to give them energy, or coffee midday, because your body really can't sustain you that long, no matter what you've eaten. you know, no matter how much food you've eaten.
How many calories you've consumed.
Yes.
So this idea of I'm going to grab, you said, you know, things we have always perceived as healthy.
Yes.
I'm going to have oatmeal. I'm going to have, you know, toast.
Yeah.
I'm going to have
just
a bowl of cereal. That's not what we should be eating first thing in the morning. Those are carbohydrates.
Right. For some people, if they raise their insulin levels first thing in the morning, it stays high all day.
And so you're constantly eating. So this concept of if I don't eat breakfast, I won't be hungry is really related to what you're having for breakfast.
Right, because we need to remember that if we skip a meal, any meal, but especially breakfast, the body will break down tissue to supply the fuel it needs. And that puts us in a breakdown state, which is not conducive to reproduction.
It's the last thing you want to do for sure when you're pregnant.
Yes.
But even in the realm of becoming pregnant.
Right, exactly.
Okay, well, we're going to need to take a little break here. When we come back, I want to talk specifically about conditions where weight has a big impact on fertility and what we can do to look at that. And then we're also going to talk about, you know, some skills that our listeners can utilize today, today that you can walk out of this session and utilize in your day, starting with your next meal in 3 hours, not in 8 hours, right? And if you're tailgating for the UT game, you may have to make some adjustments.
You have to plan ahead.
Yeah, what's being served right now. So thank you very much, Roz. Again, it's www.roshaney.com. And there's also a link on the Texas Fertility Center website, www.txfertility.com. We'll look forward to having you listeners back in the next 5 minutes. Thanks.
Welcome back to Beyond the Birds and Bees on Austin's Talk 1370.
Thanks for hanging around and sticking with us. We're talking about clinical nutrition and how it relates to fertility. And in this last segment, we have a bunch of things that we want to cover. So one of the things that we've talked about and that I think our caller earlier mentioned is that, you know, you don't have to get down to your ideal body weight. And we've discussed a condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome multiple times on air, and it's a situation where there is usually insulin resistance as part of the whole syndrome, and so it results in, you know, hormonal abnormalities and ovulation disruption. So what you probably see a bunch of women who have PCOS.
Absolutely. Both overweight and underweight women with PCOS.
So tell me about that. How much weight did these women really need to lose, and what do they need to be doing to help themselves improve this?
Yes, I think the very hopeful news is that it only takes a 5 to 10% change in your weight to cause a hormonal shift. And I have seen over and over again where women's cycles return or they become more sensitive to treatment.
So if I weigh 200 pounds and I have PCOS, you're saying that with as little as 10 to 15 pounds, that can make a difference?
Absolutely it can. You just need to be moving in the right direction. You know, and of course, paying attention to the diet that you're eating. But if you're eating more full-fat protein at each meal and snack and slowly moving in the right direction, even if it's losing only an eighth of a pound, we know that every pound of fat carries about 5 miles of capillaries that the body...
Five miles of capillaries.
Some studies even say seven per pound.
Pound of fat? Are you kidding me?
Some studies
oh my gosh,
even
I'm thinking about this
seven.
Highway system in my body.
So think about how hard the heart and the entire body system
has to work
to supply blood to that pound of fat.
Wow.
So every ounce of weight loss is critical to the health of your body. And because the body wants to be well and wants to reproduce, you know, it's looking for those breaks. It's looking for that help so that it can start really getting its cycle itself back on track. And so just moving in the right direction, I've seen it happen over and over again where a woman can become pregnant. Now, that doesn't mean that her pregnancy is still not going to be affected by the excess weight.
Okay.
And so she still wants to know wants to be informed about all the things that make for a healthier pregnancy, and those are certainly things we can address in pregnancy.
We always talk about this because it's not just the getting pregnant, it's the impact that, that this has on the pregnancy
child.
And the baby.
Right.
And we know that women who are significantly overweight have a much higher incidence of diabetes in pregnancy, high blood pressure in pregnancy, early delivery, cesarean delivery, so things that are going to affect her throughout the pregnancy as well as her fetus. So if you have someone who's started this process and she's become pregnant, but still far away from where she needs to be, what does your role look like during the pregnancy?
Well, because we know that nutrient needs skyrocket in pregnancy, and a pregnant woman really only needs about 300 calories additional a day, but yet we're having to supply all of these nutrients, I certainly want her to pay attention to high nutrient-dense foods.
Okay, so nutrient-dense foods.
Right.
That's not ice cream and pickles.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's very important, and she wants to still be eating every 3 to 4 hours, definitely not skipping meals. We do know studies show that a woman who is overweight in pregnancy can gain only 15 pounds and have a very healthy pregnancy. In fact, a healthier pregnancy than if she continued to gain 30 or more pounds.
Sure. And then when she delivers, she's going to be below the weight she started the pregnancy
with.
In a
much better state to continue that healthy, healthy movement forward for her and her family.
So it's not this hopeless thing, oh, I was making progress, now I'm pregnant, I'm going to gain all this weight, and when it's all over, I'm going to be back to where I started.
No, it's actually a wonderful opportunity because they are more motivated even then during pregnancy to do what's best for their child. It's a concrete thing when you know you have a child growing inside you.
It is.
And you have to eat well and take care of yourself, sleep well, and get some exercise and all of those things. But I have even women who are trying to become pregnant to think of the fact that if they want to be growing a child, then they need to treat themselves as if they were that child. And would you ever wake your child up and not feed him breakfast? Or would you make him stay up till 2 in the morning? Or not go outside or not have some joy in their life? You wouldn't
or force your child to smoke cigarettes.
Right, of course.
Yeah, no, you probably wouldn't do that, right?
Never would. So you really need to treat yourself.
That's a great,
Because of the fact that you are going to be growing that child.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
Or teaching that child how to grow up and take good care of itself.
So that's a really important point. These skills that you incorporate into your life now, particularly if you're in a situation where you need to be healthier, where that's really important for you. As you raise this child, you're also instilling those skills so that you will have healthy children, because obesity, you know, the population that's growing most rapidly with obesity is our children.
Right. That is my biggest goal, actually, in doing what I do, is I really want to feel good about the future health of our children. And it starts long before we become pregnant. Studies show that even just taking something like additional folic acid a year before a woman becomes pregnant, not when she's pregnant, when she finds out she's pregnant, but even a year before, cut the preterm delivery rate by 50%.
So let's say that I'm taking birth control pills and I'm deciding that maybe 3 to 6 months from now I want to start trying to get pregnant.
Yes.
You're telling me I should start taking a prenatal vitamin or a folic acid supplement today.
Absolutely. Any woman who
is in preparation.
Any woman who is thinking of becoming pregnant even within the next year should begin now thinking about her health. And if you're on birth control pills, definitely a prenatal vitamin will help prevent or will help replace some of the deficiencies that occur when taking birth control pills.
But it's interesting because you're basically saying that just following these very simple rules, multiple small meals, full fat proteins, that we should be nourishing our bodies and providing the nutrients that our body needs to stay healthy without all these supplements and extra vitamins and so on that we keep hearing
it's
about.
It's true. I absolutely have some patients who come in who are eating very little food, almost no food, and taking 20 or more supplements.
No.
So I just kind of, okay, let's go off all of that and
let's start over
again with the basics, the fundamental foods that your body really wants and craves and, and needs for a good, healthy life. Because there are lots of complexes of vitamins that are in food that we have not ever discovered. So although supplements are important as an insurance, that's true, and I do think that a woman should be on a prenatal vitamin with additional folic acid, it is not what is going to give her a healthy child. We really do need to be eating whole foods.
And nourishing our body.
Nourishing our bodies.
You make a comment that I really, really hadn't ever thought about before, but I really like it. You talk about giving the body confidence to be pregnant.
Yes, I think that we forget that reproduction is a guarded function. It is one of the most important things our body will do as a woman. And it doesn't want to be focused on breaking down tissue to make sure that the brain has fuel, or a low-grade infection like gingivitis, or a gut issue like food sensitivity. One in three women have a sensitivity to wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's identifying what those things might be that are not getting adequate sleep is a huge one.
That's what I was going to say, because, you know, we discussed this earlier, but I've really started to look at this whole concept of wellness.
Yes.
And the things that, you know, we need to replenish. Sleep is ridiculously important.
Yes.
And we skimp on that so much.
I know.
Our nutrition, and I think, you know, our stress levels.
Yes.
Whether it's personal stress or stress from
yes.
work, because we know that when we get stressed, it causes a increase in the release of cortisol.
Exactly.
Which increases our insulin levels. So it's
yes.
interesting how all of this is tied together.
Yes.
Instead of saying, well, we're just going to look at this one thing by piecemeal, and then if that doesn't work, we'll look at this.
Right.
I think this approach of total wellness
yes.
and really, really being selfish about
yes,
your
right.
body.
That's right, because it isn't just for you. It is going to be for your future children. But stress is a cumulative thing. So, you know, there are some things we can't control. And you can't control when you become pregnant,
right,
or if your husband loses his job, or if a father is sick. But we can control whether or not we get 8 to 9 hours of sleep, whether or not we wake up and eat breakfast within an hour of waking, and a full-fat breakfast, whether or not we eat every 3 to 4 hours, whether or not we have good dental hygiene, and, you know, fine relaxation techniques that benefit us, whether it be massages or deep breathing or acupuncture, or going for a walk, being outside. Sunlight is so important also.
Talk about that for a minute.
Sunlight.
About sunlight, because this is another thing, you know, like hide from the sun.
Yes, yes. Well, our bodies definitely need at least 30 minutes of indirect light every day, because that helps balance our sleep-wake cycle so that we sleep better. But the light coming in through the pineal gland and into the brain affects all the glands of the pituitary. So it actually helps balance our hormones. And also is very important for our mood health, right?
Isn't that the truth? I could never live in Seattle.
Yes, we're meant to be outside,
yeah.
and then we could forget that. So even getting 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, exercise too, it'd be wonderful to do 30 minutes a day. Some people find that a challenge, but you can do 5 minutes in the morning, you know, 10 minutes during your lunch hour walking around your building, 10 minutes when you get home. So, you know, it doesn't have to be overwhelming.
Right. It doesn't have to yes. be insurmountable, where
yes.
you just look at it and say, why would I even start this? Because I can't do it.
Exactly.
It's
yes.
baby steps.
And I have a handout that talks about, I've really worked hard on this, what are the 10 nutrition and lifestyle goals that will improve your fertility or improve your chances with IVF or fertility treatment?
Give us your top three in the few minutes we have left.
Okay, I would say the top three is definitely the full-fat breakfast that we talked about, and for the reasons why. We also need, you know, our nature packs protein with its own fat, and yet we have tried to take out all the fat and all the protein, but there's a reason for that.
So we leave it in.
It helps assimilate the protein. We leave it in. Full-fat breakfast, sleep in sunlight, for sure.
Love that.
Need 8 to 9 hours of sleep at night, because our body restores and recovers itself at night. And we know that if we get less than 8 hours, we eat 15% more calories during the day, because we're trying to fuel a body that's not fully rested.
Ooh, I need a nap then. Maybe I won't eat that cupcake if I
that's right.
if I take a nap.
And then with weight, we're moving in the right direction, whether it's gaining weight or losing weight. And it can be just as hard to gain weight for women who have that issue as it is to lose weight.
And you don't have to wait until you are at your ideal.
Absolutely.
To see a difference.
Right. Just tell yourself that every ounce, whether it's losing weight or gaining weight, is so critical to the health of your body, and it takes some of the effort out of your body.
It's doable, so right, it is. And it's totally doable. Yes.
And it frees up energy for your body to focus on reproduction.
Wonderful. Well, Roz, thank you so much for joining
us. You're welcome.
I feel like we could talk another 2 hours, but they're not going to let us. Again, if you want more information on Rosalind's practice, www.rozhaney.com and a direct link from www.txfertility.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we will see or hear you listeners next week on Beyond the Birds and the Bees. Thanks for joining us.
Goodbye.
The moon up above and a thing called love.
Talk Radio, 1370 AM.
The Texas A&M.